Not at all. But something goes wrong with a computer, something goes wrong with my mind, and I can't do it. So you say, well, why? He told John not to, in Revelation, he told him, don't write it. And I think I know what it means. You say, well, why don't you tell us? I've tried. I have tried several times to do it. And I've worked hard at it, and sometimes I've got the thing, I've had the thing completed twice. And when I get ready to do it, I just can't do it. You say, well, what conclusion have you come to, Brother Michael Murray? Well, God must not want me to do it. And so I don't know. It's not that I don't know what it is. I think I do. But maybe there are some things that God has there at the very last that you're not going to find out until it happens. If I ever get permission to do it, if I ever feel that he wants me to, I will. But it's just something I will when I feel like it's okay. So why am I telling you this? Don't I want you to think God's close to me? Or don't you think I'm want you to believe that I've tried to do what God wanted? You do. So maybe he just wants you not to know everything. Maybe he doesn't want me to know everything. So here's why I just said all that I just said in a nutshell. You better be ready. You better be ready when that last trumpet sounds. You better be ready. Because I've been tempted quite a few times to put this out. And I've come to this conclusion right now, it's just not God's will that I do it. So I'm not going to do it. You say, well, why tell us all that? You better be ready for that seventh trumpet. Because after that sounds, there's going to be some things go on. And if you're faithful to God, if you're saved, you'll be taken out. But afterwards, I'm not sure so exactly what's going to happen. I think I know. But why should I tell you if God just doesn't want me to do it? And so here's my advice. It's the advice I'm taking. I'm trying very hard to be ready for the seventh trumpet. I'm saved. I'm scripturally baptized. I'm a member of one of God's churches. And I'm anxious for him to come. I can tell you that. But that's all I'm going to tell you until I feel like I can do that. I've asked Tom to draw up a diagram for me. I think I've got the answer. But I have a relationship with God such that I just don't feel like he wants me to. And so I'm going to wait for a while. Now, the first time I went through the Beatitudes was in the last century when I first came up here. I thought they were easy. So I went through and preached them and felt pretty confident about it. I didn't preach anything wrong. But there were lots of things about those Beatitudes that I thought were pretty deep. And so as I've studied them down through the years, this particular set of Beatitudes, you notice I got a number one on it. I put these out 10 years ago. And the first time I put them out was when I first came up here in 19... 70. When did I come up here, Terry?
76.
74. And shortly after I came up here, I thought I had these things all figured out. I preach the truth about them. But there's an awful lot in these Beatitudes that have to do with the second coming of Christ. So I went back 10 years ago. This is exactly what I preached. And when I first came up here, there were certain things I understood and believed that I just felt like if I preached them, they'd call me a new lighter and everything else. So I didn't preach them. And now I'm going to go through these. Make up your own mind about them. But I guarantee you, they've been something I've really come to appreciate and respect. So the Beatitudes are seeking the kingdom things of God. Most of you here are saved. You know the Lord is your Savior. Most of you here have scriptural baptism. Most of you here are members of this church. So my question is, have you got the mind of Christ? Now that's the reason he said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For ye are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that ye should walk in them. The reason he put grace in front of a lot of scriptures and then went on to say, you're saved by grace, he's talking about a process that a lot of good preachers have taught me a lot of things about it since I was first called to preach. I've learned a lot about it. And God's been awful gracious to me, and I really thank him for it. So I asked the question, got the mind of Christ? Question. Seek ye the kingdom with it. A lot of people get saved. They know Christ as their Savior. They may have been saved when they were young. They may have been saved while attending a different church. They may have been saved falling out of a tree in the deer woods. But I guarantee you that they know the Lord. But the Lord said something to the woman at the well that is very important. He told the woman at the well that the day was coming, and now was at that time, because the king was here on the earth. The day was coming when men would worship, that they must worship, must, M-U-S-T, must worship in spirit and in truth. I really believe most of you here are saved, maybe every one of you. But I went to school primarily to understand the Greek language and the Hebrew language. And I did that because that's what God wanted. I did it for that reason and for no other reason. Oh, I loved attention. I loved recognition. I wanted all that thing. I'm carnal just like everybody else. But I've learned a lot. And I've learned so much, and yet it seems so little to me now. So if you're saved, this is a message about seeking the kingdom things of God. If you know him as your Savior, if you trust him as your Savior, if you believe that all power in heaven and earth is given unto him, you have the mind of Christ. Now, why then are you still looking for him? You're supposed to still be looking for him, but you're supposed to be looking for him because what you have has equipped you to be able to understand the kingdom of God. It requires an effort in response to his Spirit. And so you believe, Robert, that he called out the disciples in Galilee, don't you? So do I, and there's a reason for that. The multitudes were following Jesus in very great numbers at the beginning of his ministry. And I mean, they were just flocking up there. I mean, they'd stretch out over fields to listen to him. They were seeking Jesus in very great numbers at the beginning of his ministry, and he had a message intended for the ears of his disciples. And at times he would go up into a high place and call only his disciples to come to him. To be a disciple, first you've got to be saved. And after you get saved, after you repent toward God and put your faith in his Son, after you do that, then you can begin to understand the Lord. The first thing you want to understand is my baptism scriptural? Now, at the time of his ministry in the 5th and 6th chapter of Matthew, the disciples had called out, he had called out as his first New Testament church. And they had been baptized by John the Baptist after they repented of their sins and were following him as his church. So the message of Matthew 6:33 was for born again, scripturally baptized believers who were following him as a church. Why am I preaching this? Because I know it's true. I've been through it. I understand it. You say, well, does God speak to you? God has never spoken directly to me. He speaks to my heart. You say, do you hear words in your heart? Nope. But he speaks to my heart. You say, what has he taught you? I'm not the Lone Ranger. Other preachers have taught me. Other preachers that were Landmark Missionary Baptist. Other preachers that knew the truth. And they were following the Lord. I think it's the easiest thing I've ever done in my life. But it was the most difficult that I ever learned. Thing I learned. That it was easy. But I was the problem. In Matthew 6:33, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You got problems in your life? Every one of you do. Every one of you will have some more. And God tries to equip you. The thing is the secret word. It's up to you. Do you want to respond to his Spirit? Are you willing to do it? All church members should seek all their lives to understand the things of the kingdom of God and to learn of him how to practice the righteousness he taught us by his actions and his word. Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you. I imagine most of you here are saved. Probably some of you for a very long time. In Matthew 11:28, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I obtained that rest when I came to him in repentance. I knew he was the Son of God. I knew that. I believed it. And I believed that he had made me a promise. And I knew that I couldn't save myself. You say, how'd you learn that? By grace. Here's God's plan of grace. For it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I kept asking him to save me. And finally I learned, what do you think stopping him? I was stopping him. And when I repented toward God, I didn't understand all the stuff I understand now. But when I repented toward God, it means I turned toward God. I was attending a service, and all of a sudden one day the preacher told me what that meant, metanoia. That's when God really began to work on my heart. And I suddenly felt completely relieved. You say, well, you're basing your salvation on your feelings. No, I wasn't. Because I knew. He saved me. So what happened to that? It took a long time for me to do it. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I didn't start to follow him until I was scripturally baptized. And when I was scripturally baptized, I began to follow him. It's been a rough road. Still is. Why am I preaching this particular message? Brother and sister in Christ, I can't tell you the year, the month, the date, the year. I can't do that. Never could. I've told you that ever since I came here. But I've always known when I got close, I could tell, listen, this is at our doorstep. If I didn't care anything about you, I'd just give you some little cuties, and most of you would leave the church. You need the word. That's why I get men and Sunday school teachers here to try to teach the word. Because I learn from it. Probably interrupt too much, but I learn from it. All church members should seek all their lives to understand the things of the kingdom of God and to learn of him how to practice the righteousness he taught us by his actions and his word. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That learn of me, actually it's from me, but in the days that this was written, if you were a follower of someone, you learned from him, and the actual preposition here is from, but of is the same thing. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. You know how I found peace with God? He taught me that I was not lowly in soul. He taught me that I didn't know as much as I thought I knew. And he taught me by teaching me, you want to learn from me? You want to know about me? Then start obeying me. When I started obeying him, I had succeeded. In my own way, but not in God's way. Take my yoke upon and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. One must be born again before he or she is able to learn of and from him. That's what this message is about. You say, well, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. He lives in me. All right. Jesus himself walked over 50 miles to be baptized properly. And he didn't have to do it. He was already saved. If he wasn't saved, nobody ever was. You need to unite with a church that is still teaching the truth. That's what happened to me after I got saved. You can't tell if I'm telling you the truth, but the Lord can, and I've got to answer to him. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. I couldn't understand anything until I got scripturally baptized. I knew I was saved. I knew it. But I got no excuse. He says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I belong to him. And I came to realize, Tom, you don't have any peace until you obey him. If you're here this morning, I believe God led you here. You say, well, you can't tell that. I know. I understand that. One must be born again before he or she can see. See that word see? I think it's 13 times that word is translated 13 different ways. Like, it has a translation like this. I see you, Chili. I see you. I see you, Terry. I don't see you, Lord, but I see you here. That's the difference between the words. The word that is used here means to be spiritually able to understand. Could I give you an example? Oh, I'd love to. You write on the board. Wait a minute. Do you have to write it on the board? 1 + 1 = 2. Did I write it on a board? Well, do you see? It's that kind of see. You don't have to see it with your eyes. You have to see it in here. You have to see it in here. And I saw it. Oh, I didn't see it on a board. I don't have to write it on a board. I know what that word see means. It's a quite different thing. One must be born again. Well, who was the second spirit? A quickening spirit named Jesus. One must be born again before he or she can see, understand the kingdom of God. I think this, maybe there's 13 words that are translated see that have different meanings. You see why I went to the seminary? You think I like to sit on these two cheeks I don't smile with all my life? I went there because God led me there. You say, well, why didn't he lead me there? I can't answer that. I just know what he led me there for. Here's where that word see is used. Like you write it on a board. You don't have to write it. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It means 1 + 1 = 2. Did you see that? You saw it in here. You can't see it in here until God puts it there. And if you don't come to the Lord seeking salvation, repenting toward God, and putting your faith in His Son, you'll never see or understand until you start to obey Him. After you're saved, you start to obey Him. You think, this is wonderful. But you've got to obey Him first. You say, well, I thought you didn't go to heaven by works. You don't. But when you get there, it determines where you live. It determines where you live and where God places you because you obeyed Him. I hope you're here this morning because you're trying to obey God. Because if you're trying to obey God and you know you're saved, why aren't you a member of this church? Or do you have scriptural baptism? It's up to you. It involves your will. One must be born again before he or she can understand eternal life. Eternal life goes on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. How are you going to explain to God when you get there? Well, you know, I know I'm here and everything, but I didn't obey you. You're not saved by works. One must be born again before he or she can understand. See, that's the word that's used. Understand eternal life. He that believeth on the Son hath. That's a present indicative active. I didn't go to school to impress you. Oh, I love attention and all that stuff. But I went to school because I wanted to know about present indicative actives. You say, well, what does that have to do with it? Don't you think the Holy Spirit understands present indicative active? Don't you think He understands the Greek language? Don't you think He inspired the men that wrote this? And what are you doing here if you don't believe that? hath, present indicative act, everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. You know why I see life? 1 + 1 = 2. I'm not worried about hell. I had to be saved. I had to repent toward God. I turned to God. When he knew I was capable, I turned to him. And he saved me. Make no mistake about it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But when did you start really understanding life? When I was baptized properly. Believers have the mind of Christ, but often do not let him exercise the will of his mind over theirs. You think that all the people in this church that are scripturally baptized are here this morning? I used to preach fiery sermons to make them feel guilty. I don't do that anymore. I had a preacher point out to me that, you know, why are you doing that? I listen to it. You say, well, you mean you listen to other preachers? I listen to other preachers who are listening to God. That's what I do. You say, well, are you a numbskull? No, I'm not a numbskull. I'm losing my mind, but I'm a little far off from being a numbskull, I think. John 3:36. He that believeth the Son hath present indicative active, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. I see life very plainly. I've been scripturally baptized. I'm here doing what I'm supposed to be doing it. Am I doing it as well as I'm supposed to? I'm trying. You say, well, how are you going to know you're doing it? If God doesn't rebuke me for this, I'll accept that as his will that I do it. You say, how much confidence you got in him? How much? He's got all power in heaven and earth. Should I have confidence in myself? No. I'm not a... God's humbled me. I came here very proud, haughty and arrogant and all that stuff. I changed from an introvert to an extrovert. Now I'm back to being an introvert that relies on God. I relied on myself when I came here and I was strong. But no, I'm not strong now. Believers have the mind of Christ, but often do not let him exercise the will of his mind over theirs. That's your problem. You know Christ is your Savior? Good. Are you in the church you're supposed to be in? Do you have scriptural baptism? Are you sure of it? Are you in the church you're supposed to be in? Are you worshiping him in spirit and in truth? Or are you in a false church? You say, well, you don't believe there'll be some people go to heaven in false churches. I certainly do. But I don't believe those people are going to receive anything very much in heaven. If they really believed it, they'd get out of it. The Bible says, come out of her. But we have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. An unsaved man or woman cannot understand the spiritual power of the Word of God. He can't. Won't. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If you weren't interested in this, you'd get mad as a wet hen and would never come back here. Never. Because it would hurt your feelings. But if you're looking for the truth and you're saved, this is one of God's churches. We're still teaching exactly what Jesus taught. We haven't added anything to it. We haven't taken anything away from it. And when we discover that we're wrong, we repent. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. If we'll let him function in it, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Thank God I can't put it in you. But thank God that his plan of grace for you, if you know him as Savior, you need to be in a church that teaches and preaches that. You say, you're preaching directly at me. Well, why are you here? That's a question you have to answer yourself. Nobody can answer it but you. You have to let his mind be in you if you're going to follow him. And you can't follow him unless you know him as Savior. When the multitude thronged him, he withdrew to a mountain, and when he was ready, he caused his disciples to him to teach them about things about the kingdom of God and how they were to conduct themselves in this life. Matthew 5:1-3. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came to him. He was being thronged, as I pointed out earlier. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is, he said, you got this, yours is the kingdom of heaven. I didn't have it when I was, before God's Spirit began to convict me. And finally, when I repented toward God and put my faith in what he said, I got saved. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God wouldn't save me until I repented toward him and put my faith in him. You say, did you understand all that? Absolutely not. You say, well, why are you talking to us about it? That's what happened to me. That's what the Bible said was supposed to happen to me. You said, when did you learn all this stuff? After God saved me. But until my heart was right with God, I didn't understand much about this stuff. They talked about it all the time, but I didn't understand it. All of a sudden, after I got scripturally baptized, I began to understand things that I never understood before. But you can't learn from the Spirit of God until he saves you and comes to live in you. I run into people all the time that I believe are saved. You say, well, do you mean I'm supposed to make a commitment? Yeah. You say, well, why don't you make a commitment? Well, I don't know. That's something between you and the Lord. I love you whether you make the commitment or not, but it's sure a lot easier to love you when you understand, because it gives me a good feeling inside, because I know you got the same Jesus inside you. You're in the right church. You're scripturally baptized. And I know I'm going to see you in heaven. Acts 20:21. These are the words of the Apostle Paul, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Now, Greeks were looked upon as Gentiles. It's never used Greeks in here. It means Gentiles, Greeks. It means all of them. Repentance toward God. The word repentance is metanoia. It means, here's what Paul preached. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Acts 20:21. I repented toward God. I didn't understand all this stuff I've been teaching to you about what I'm teaching now. I did when I came up here, but not as well as I do now. You say, well, why did God show it to you? He was trying to teach me that I was too proud and haughty and arrogant, that I needed a Savior just like everybody else. And he saved me. And I learned this. As it is written, Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Matthew 5:20, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. My righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees because I was saved by the one they rejected. I didn't reject his grace. I received it. He lives in me. When I preach to you, if I'm not preaching what he believes and what he said, I've got a lot to answer for in heaven. I don't want to stand up there and be accused of teaching you a lie. Psalm 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Where did I get this heart? From God. When did I get it? When I repented toward God and put my faith in his only begotten Son. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. He said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. I believe him. You say, well, boy, you've got a lot of faith. No, I got a lot of Jesus in me. I've got a lot of the Lord's Spirit in me. You say, did he give it to you? Absolutely, it was by grace. You say, did you repent of your sins? Absolutely, I turned to God. But in us which are saved is the power of God. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I'm going to heaven. I hope you're going to heaven. I hope you're in the right church. I want all these things for you because that's what God called me to do, to teach the Word of God. And until he got me to the point where I realized I'm nothing and he's everything, how could I tell you about him if I didn't know that? 1 Corinthians 2:6-14. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, mature, yet not the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. I am crucified with Christ. I didn't crucify, but it was necessary for him to be crucified for me. My favorite song really is, in my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I love him. I used to feel guilty all the time because I didn't love him enough. I don't feel guilty anymore. I just keep trying to find out, what about, you know why I love him? Let me tell you, he told me. This is what humbled me. He let me know that the only reason I loved him was because he first loved me. And that's the reason he put grace in front of it. After I got saved, I began to understand after I got baptized, I began to understand grace a whole lot better than I understand it today. Now I understand what grace is. It didn't save me, but it was God's plan that if I would repent toward him, he would teach me about himself. And I love him because he first loved me. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit of God in you, how in the world are you going to learn about him? For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man that is in him? God knows whether you're saved or not, and you do too. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. If you've got the Spirit of God in you, he's teaching you. And it's because you're not letting him. You need to be a member of one of God's churches that still teaches the truth. That's where you belong. Most of the churches are so corrupt and rotten, they don't even teach the truth anymore. There are saved people in them. I don't deny that. But many of those churches do not teach the truth. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's why I urge you to make up your mind. Am I in the right church? Am I believing the right things? Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but the Holy Ghost teacheth. The Holy Ghost teaches us after he saves us, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now here's about natural men. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I sure am glad that's true. I sure am glad that I won't have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and say, Lord, I know I should have told them. I know I should have told them the truth. I knew it might hurt their feelings, and I loved them and I cared for them, but I've got to do this. Because it's God's will that you not only repent toward him and put your faith in Christ, you'll go to heaven. But if I didn't care anything about you, I wouldn't tell you all this. Because when you get there, you're going to be there for all eternity. It behooves you to come out of a church that isn't teaching the truth and join one that is. You don't have to join this church. Find some other church that's scriptural. But if they're not teaching what Jesus taught, and if they don't teach about salvation, baptism, the church, the Lord's Supper, the way that Jesus taught it and it was delivered to the saints by Jude, why are you there? John 5:40. And you will not come to me that you might have life. John 14:6-7. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How can you worship in a church if you don't worship in spirit and in truth? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. What they saw was Jesus, his body, which was sacrificed for them. The blood that was offered up. They saw flesh and blood man. You'll see that flesh and blood man glorified as Almighty God in heaven. There's only one God. And he fulfilled three offices. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. John 3:7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. You're listening to this. What are you going to do with it? If so be ye have tasted, the Lord is gracious. How do you think I'm telling you all this? To whom coming? That literally means in Greek, to keep on coming. Don't you know why a lot of people don't come to church after a while? They've got their salvation and they got lots of other things that are more important on this world. You cannot serve God and mammon. Doesn't say you go to hell if you don't serve him, but it does indicate that you're not going to get much of a reward when you get there if you don't. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones, that's what we are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Well, I went 5 minutes over. We're going to have an invitation. Just one verse. I don't do this very often. But if you need to be saved, I got good news. I can't save you. How would you like to be saved by a little fat, dumpy man like me? You say, well, who can? Jesus. If there's any question in your mind about your salvation, then all you got to do is trust him. That's all you got to do. You say, well, I've already done that. Well, you want to join a church? Do you believe that you've been saved and you have the mind of Christ in you? Come on down, just tell me. And we'll see what happens. What number?
368.
368.
368.
One step.